exists in the hearts of everyone, to put the resources into the hands of the people, to increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.
Hello everyone in Radioland. Welcome to the Dark City Compassion Club. I'm your host for this evening, Martin Edward. And welcome. Tonight we've got a guest, Colin Davis. We're just going to bring him into the call shortly. Colin's a cannabis activist with a big story to tell. He's been on the BBC recently. And he's famous for all kinds of things, like opening the first coffee shop in Stockport and giving buds of flowers to the Queen. Very interesting. Tonight, as well as Colin, we'll have Terry, who's been introduced to everyone from last week. And we'll have Bob, as we always do. And maybe some others. I'm not too sure yet. So, without further ado, I'm going to try and bring Colin into the call. Bear with me, everyone. Let's have a look. Right, Colin's not here right now. Michelle's joined us, which is fantastic. I'll bring her in shortly. So, I'm just going to add Colin into the call right now, everyone. Sorry, this is a bit... Bear with me, folks.
I'll fill a little bit in while you're sorting that out. Watch your microphones, please. Michelle, your microphone's not muted if you're here. Good to see you here, Michelle. And I heard about what happened to you today. We're trying to organise a revolution. Well, we have been for a while. All right, Paul, can you try calling? Parliament. Ah, thank you. I got a little bit of news that came in today. Someone, I put a bit of, I had a go at quite a few of the groups on Facebook a while ago for instructing people to go cap in hand to the government over a petition. That result of that petition has just come in recently, and the government has said, ha, 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 I thought to myself. Quite sad, really. But yeah, that's obviously, it was quite clear to me that that's what was going to happen. But however, through that, we did say to people, if you do get arrested or you do want to know an approach to take, then contact us. And a few people did. And one lady reported back to me today, about an hour and a half ago, maybe 2 hours, just before Fabrice's show, actually. And she has been speaking to the court after putting the approach forward. And her case has been annulled and it has been removed for a criminal record. She no longer has a criminal record under the Misuse of Drugs Act. So it does work. A positive one in the light of Michelle X's further arrest. I do believe we've got Colin with us now, so I'll hand it back over to you, Martin. Well done. Away you go, bro.
All right, everyone. Right. So, we've got Colin Davis. Now, Colin Davis is Canacol on Twitter, and he's a very interesting chap. Colin, can you unmute and introduce yourself to the listeners, please?
Oh, yeah. Hello there. My name's Colin Davis, and basically I've been campaigning for the legalisation of cannabis for about 20 years now. And it doesn't seem to have got any further forwards. In fact, it seems to have gone slightly backwards since a few years ago.
Are you still there, Colin? You sounded very quiet.
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay, fantastic. So yeah, just you know, give us a bit more background into what's been going on.
Well, I don't know whether you know anything about myself, but basically I had a spinal injury in 1995 And I came out of the hospital and found out that cannabis helped me with the pain. I grew cannabis for my own use at that time, and ended up getting my flat door kicked in by the police burglary squad of the day. Plants taken, and I was taken to court. And now I defended myself in that case, and I put it to the jury that I was using cannabis for medicinal reasons. After a trial, the jury went out, and I was found not guilty. Unanimous verdict of not guilty. With the publicity from that, a few people contacted me that had multiple sclerosis and were self-medicating, but they had problems getting hold of decent weed, of course. And at that point was where I set up what was the Medical Marijuana Cooperative. It was loosely a bunch of people that was all supporting themselves. One person would pay the electric bill, I'd be doing the growing, and the other person would pay for some of the equipment, and we'd share all the weed. And then I got bussed for doing that as well. I was taken to court again, and this time I was charged with cultivation and supplying. However, I was charged with supplying persons unknown. With that case, I called the expert witnesses, Matthew Alpha from the Independent Drugs Monitoring Unit. He gave evidence to explain to the jury the reason for using cannabis for medicinal reasons. And again, after that trial, what I did is actually the people that were supplying, Hamish Crisp, who was came from Edinburgh to the trial, he gave evidence, and he openly admitted that I supplied him, and I openly admitted that I'd supplied him. And the prosecution tried to argue. The only reason they could come up with, they said, well, why would you supply Mr. Crisp in Edinburgh? He is neither kith nor kin to you. With which my reply was, he may not be kith nor kin, but he's a fellow human being, and he was asking for help, and I helped him with it. And the jury was in uproar at that, of course. The prosecutor, and that, he shot himself in the foot. And I was acquitted again. Now, at that point, it got quite a great deal of press. I was getting inquiries, and the medical side of things was getting quite strenuous. I heard about these, the Mediweed system in Holland, and Mr. Noel van Schaik and Wernhard Bruning. At that point, I sort of needed some help, and I was going to go over there to see the pair of them. However, Her Majesty the Queen, what happened was a couple of the patients had wrote to Her Majesty suggesting that I might be knighted rather than prosecuted, which I thought was quite sweet at the time. God rest the rest of the ladies. Now, shortly after that, the Queen was visiting Manchester, the Lowry Centre, and I had some nice cannabis growing at the time. It was some big bud, and I was chatting with a friend of mine, and he'd noticed that the Queen was coming, and I said, well, why don't we go down and I'll present her with a bouquet of the cannabis that I produced for the patients. And we decided to do it, and we went down and we did that. That's a long story to talk about that, but it was, you can't just walk up to the Queen and give her anything, believe you me. We was vetted by the Royal Protection Squad beforehand, and during the event, which there's a few videos on the internet with that conversation about what happened there recently. One from Spanibus, I think that's on the John Dope website that Noel runs. Anyway, I could go on all night, me, but the long and short of it was, slightly after the Queen, and I went over to Holland to try and get some help with the Mediweed system. whilst I was on the flight, I was reading in the newspaper, and it was some MP at the time, and he was saying that we should look at regulating cannabis coffee shops and such. Got to Holland, met Noel and Wernard, and spoke about the MediWeed system, and decided that it would probably be a good way of advancing in England. Went back to the UK after a good meeting and found a place there, opened it up 2 weeks later, called the Dutch Experience, and the idea was that we would sell to social users, and the profits from the social users would pay for the Medi users, and that worked absolutely wonderful. I mean, we was arrested on the first day. After that, it went quite well for a while, and then of course I was rearrested, and end of the day, I ended up getting 3 years in prison for the smuggling side of it and everything else. It was all in good taste, though. The place was open for over 12 months, and people that frequented there had a fantastic time. I would do it all again. I mean, I've been looking to do it all again for a while now. Let's get to the tonight's subject. I'm not looking at stuff here. They've got to look at things, and in case...
Yeah. Yeah, that's brilliant, Colin. Thanks a lot for introducing yourself.
Right.
So the listeners now have a good idea of your background. Now, before we get into your recent stuff, like your Radio 5 stuff that I'm dying to get into, I think Bob wants to perhaps just comment on what you were saying before. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah. Hiya, Colin. Paul Aidan here, Ashton Underline. Look, I'm not in National Underline at the moment, of course. I'm in Spain, but a local lad to yourself. I remember you, Colin. I remember your work. I remember the bunch of flowers to the Queen. Brilliant stroke, I might have. And the opening of it, and the subsequent arrest, the MEP turning up at the police station. I can't remember his name now, but he was from up in Mosley End, I do think. The European Parliament getting, and then he kind of bottled it a bit. But hey, they were having a go, man. It was a good movement. And I do kind of relate to what you're saying. It seems not to have really gone very far. The cannabis movement. It's a bit of a joke in this neck of the woods. But it has, man. I just wanted to let you know that certain people have actually managed to do a hell of a lot behind closed doors, in private. It is still moving. There are more and more people. I spoke to an old friend of yours, Jimmy Gangeland. He was here today with me in Spain. He was on that original course back there for setting up the coffee shops. Oh, great ideas, Colin. And I'm really interested to know on how you're taking on the Misuse of Drugs Act. I've been slapping it around, or slapping the Prime Prosecution Service around for a number of years regarding the Misuse of Drugs Act. Apparently now I'm an uneconomical, viable prosecution, apparently. I'd like to put that to the test, and I will be doing very soon indeed. Now I have it, cannabinoids, actually, as my only form of medication written onto my medical records, and that's not privately, that's in the National Health Service. So we have moved in big jumps. So the big problem I see here, Colin, at the moment, is we've just had this petition that's gone in. I don't think, actually, personally asking the ones guilty of genocide for permission, but this petition's gone in regarding legalisation, and the government has basically, as I said earlier, come back and gone, eh-eh. So, Colin, please, I'm dying to hear, and I know Martin is, and I'm sure the listeners are, on your angle on taking on the Misuse of Drugs Act.
Yeah, okay, well, the way things came about, I got a call from a young chap who had, he's like 22 years old, and he's been going to college for degrees and stuff like that, and he got caught growing 4 cannabis plants in a little cupboard. He does state that he uses cannabis to help him with stress, and It was an unrelated incident, like usual. The police ended up at his flat looking for somebody. He wasn't there. He gets done. Now, he was at the magistrate's court in the beginning with it like normal, and the solicitor was... He mentioned that he would like to challenge the law regarding the classification of Schedule 1 cannabis, to which obviously the magistrates had a think about it, and they didn't want to pursue it. They sent it to Crown Court. Now, he was in Crown Court last week. The same scenario has happened, except this time the Crown Court have laid the case on file and they're not prepared to deal with it at the moment. The solicitor who's involved, he can't, because it's been laid on file, he's not allowed, it puts him in an awkward position, he's not allowed to talk about it or anything. So we discussed it, and this was the angle that we took, that with cannabis being on a Schedule 1 with no medicinal use, part of the defence, of course, then, is that we believe it does have medicinal use, which can lead you, obviously, to be calling expert witnesses, etc., towards the case. however, it probably seemed that it's nigh on impossible to get charged, really, and to get to Crown Court with the Schedule 1 argument. It's like when we talk about European human rights and things, it's very hard to try and get that case heard in court. The judges don't listen to it. what happened earlier in the week, there was a programme on the Radio 5 Live, and they were talking about the Human Rights Act and drugs decriminalisation in general. And Radio 5, they phoned me up and asked me if I would be interested in partaking in the programme, to which I said, yes, certainly. And I was brought in at the end of the programme. Now, what I've got here, I've got a recording of the couple of people beforehand. He did like a condensed version of it, and then my own version. And basically what it ended up with was that I was being challenged by Radio 5 to take it to court and see that if I could win. Because, you see, we've got the government and we've got these petitions. I was disgusted at the response of that petition. Absolutely disgusted. I would rather them not have answered for a few more weeks or months, but to be given that opinion, they're going against science and everything here. This is people's lives we're talking about, children's lives and the economy and everything. It's a very serious matter. And I wanted to sort of give my two penny to it. I've got the recording here now, and I can play it for you. It's about 10 minutes long. It's quite interesting. And then
yeah, as long as it doesn't have anything that might be copyright infringement, feel free to play it for us, because I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, it's a conversation. You see, the thing is that the politicians, they're really stuck between a rock and a hard place. But if laws can be changed, and laws can be changed in court, it's a very powerful way of doing things. However, there has to be, you have to sort of find a way to do it, to bring it into the public arena. And I think, I've been working on it now since I was challenged by Radio 5. Anyway, here's the interview. See how you think it goes.
Drugs just aren't working. So that's one side of it. But they've also argued, this is a kind of newer thing, they've argued that taking drugs could be a human right under EU legislation. Baroness Nietzsche, who heads
the problem we've got with prohibition is that it is actually dangerous and it is causing the death of children. I was in a studio a couple of days ago with parents of a young boy, a 16-year-old bright boy, died because he took a very, very, very strong ecstasy tablet. Now, that tablet was unmarked. He had no idea what was in it. Goodness knows where he got it from. If ecstasy, for example, were regulated, I don't mean selling ecstasy in supermarkets, regulated, sold through licensed premises, properly labelled with the contents of the whatever it is, ecstasy, very clear labelling about risks and side effects, children's lives would be saved. And that's the only concern we have, is the safety of our children. And we want smart laws. We don't want soft laws. We want smart laws. And we want control.
I also spoke to Dr. Ian Oliver, who's an independent consultant who's worked for the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime.
Whether or not drugs are branded, if the government were unwise enough to go down the road of legalising or decriminalising drugs and branding them and selling them, do we really think that people wouldn't undercut them and go, and children are getting the message that if people are allowed to do this, then drugs can't be very harmful? And fortunately, the latest statistics indicate that it's young people that are moving away from cannabis, particularly in the UK, and the older people, the older generation, the baby boomers, are the ones that are using it. See, all drugs are dangerous. Even prescribed medicines are dangerous unless they're taken under supervision and guidance of a medical practitioner. And to send out the message, whichever way you do it, to young people in particular, vulnerable people as well, is putting out the message that all drugs aren't really dangerous and it's all right to experiment with them. And the minute you take away a prohibition, people follow that and start using them, and then there are massive consequences.
Well, that was very much both sides of the coin on that discussion. Let's have a brief word with Colin Davis now. He's a regular user of cannabis. Says he uses it to help with the pain he has as a result of a spinal injury. Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. Sorry, Colin.
Oh, good afternoon, yes. It all started, he was talking about drugs in general and everything, and now we've got to the crux of the matter, I think, really. Cannabis.
Yeah.
Cannabis has been used for over 6,000 years, I think it's been recorded as being used for medicinal reasons. And really, at the moment, the law is actually in disrepute, because cannabis is under a Schedule 1 drug with no considered medicinal use, and ill people are being taken to court and prosecuted for using it as a medicine medicinally. Now, when we talk about human rights, there is actually part of the Human Rights Act is the right to the highest attainable health. Yes.
It's against the law.
Well, the law is in disrepute. It's only against the law because it's a Schedule 1 drug with no medicinal use.
But you'd have to take that to court to test it, wouldn't you? Because at the moment, it's against the law.
I think common sense prevails on the subject, really. And if it requires being taken, so what do we say? Do we say that, right, somebody's got to challenge this in court? Is this what we're saying, to be able to come to some reasonable conclusion that if somebody is suffering from appetite loss because they've had chemotherapy, it's against the law for them to use a herbal plant that they could grow on the windowsill?
Well, you know that successive governments have looked at the issue of decriminalisation and they haven't decided to change the law. So at the moment it would need someone taking it to court, I guess.
Right, well, let's do that. I'll do that. But before I do that, now, successive governments have chose to ignore the scientific and medical proof of the thing. Now, in America, they've been using cannabis medicinally for over 20 years. Now, if it's used in America medicinally for over 20 years, I think we can, be quite confident that the Americans are not stupid and they realise this. And they actually use the human rights laws to pursue this and be able to be allowed it medicinally. Now, the problem we have in this country is lots of people, probably hundreds of people, have gone in front of judges in this country and tried to use the European laws and everything else, and then they just get dismissed down to court. They're not allowed to quote
What about those people who say, and this is final question, those people who say it's a very different drug to what you're talking about 20 years ago. I know you're talking about taking it medicinally, but it would involve what you're saying, growing it at home, which would still mean that if people growing it at home, they would be presumably able to smoke it at home or ingest it in any which way they chose if the law went the way of what you're talking about. But we are, in the main, talking about a very different drug to what you were talking about 6,000 years ago. When we're talking about high-strength cannabis, and you know, you're talking about different studies and what have you, and there are studies, aren't there, that point towards people who take a lot of cannabis having a greater propensity to degrees of psychosis, for example.
Well, I don't know. One report quotes one thing, one report quotes another. Now, the truth, no, let's get to the crux of the matter. So, okay, in Holland, there must be lots of people walking around all crazy. Also in America, in Washington and Colorado, and we're saying that the roof's going to fall in. This argument is absolutely preposterous, that this just isn't going to happen. And if you was allowed to, people to grow a couple of cannabis plants on the windowsill, which could help them with from migraines to cancer, what that would in fact do is it would hurt the pharmaceutical mafia. Okay. And that's the big problem in all this equation.
Colin, we'll see you in court, all right?
See you in court soon. I'll arrange it.
Thanks very much indeed. That's Colin Davis, as you're hearing a regular news. It is just going up to 25 minutes
to one. All right, I'm back.
Wowzers.
In. I'll leave that open for discussion a minute.
Yeah. Well, anyone in the chat box who's listening there, feel free to put a number in if you want to say. I just want to put my point on that I thought was, quite a bias position that the commentator took there. And, I'd feel free to meet that challenge. Now, we've got Bob and Terry that want to jump in. Bob, do you want to go first?
Let Terry go.
Hi, Colin. My name is Terry Joyce, and I am in America, in California. And I loved how you said that, you know, we've had medical marijuana for 20 years. I mean, I'm living in the state that legalized it for the first time. I love the fact that you said Americans aren't stupid, because I feel like to the rest of the world, we probably look stupid except for what we've done with cannabis, really. We still do struggle a lot in terms of keeping our dispensaries open. And, we still battle even the our federal government to coming down on the state rights. And it's also very convoluted, but we have made a lot of strides. What I find interesting about that interview is the woman who talks about ecstasy and how it killed somebody and how it needs to be, legalized and made, labeled and stuff like that for people to use. Not really saying exactly how they're going to use it, whether it would be on a medicinal level, because I just noticed in the States, now they're doing a study on people that want to participate in an ecstasy trial again. So it looks like over here, they're trying to implement it somewhat on a legal level. And that interview, she seems to just kind of get away with what she says. And it really, to me, it sounds like the interview is sort of, targeting you on really sort of like, well, it's still illegal, et cetera, et cetera. Did you feel that you were kind of being sort of triangulated in that conversation at all?
Not really, no. I wasn't really involved in the conversation the way the program worked. It was one person having a conversation with another, and then I was sort of introduced at a later part of the program. On these programs, you see, they try to railroad you down their little ways, and I wasn't having any of it this time. I was sort of on track. He wanted to talk about the dangers. Forget it. You can do that another time. It was quite interesting that the challenge became around. And with it being Radio 5, I've decided there and then, I thought, well, if somebody throws a gauntlet down, it's like a red rag to a bull. I've started making preparations for my arrest. I've got a nice little cannabis plant here, and I'm going to take some bud down and some oil and concentrates and things. And I'm going to be demand to be arrested for being in possession of what I consider is medical cannabis, and supplying medical cannabis. And I will that way hopefully get to challenge the law. However, after speaking with the legal Beagles, they don't really think that I'm going to get charged. They say we'd be very surprised if it would lead to a charge. So I'm trying to get a little opening in something here. I'm also been in contact with the Tony Lloyd, who's the Manchester Chief Constable at the moment, and he's also the Lord Mayor elect. He's quite open-minded about things, and he understands about Colorado. America really should open a lot of doors over here regarding the way things have happened, because, you know, for God's sake, the country's on its knees. It needs some extra revenue and employment and everything. And whatever is happening in America with the federal and things, you know, it can be sporadic, I know that, but at least they are the pioneers, and you would have thought that, you know, what America does, we always follow anyway. Over to you.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we have made a lot of progress here, and what is happening to Colorado is quite interesting to observe and to see how it's, you know, being legalized. We do have some issues in the states in terms of the elite, or if you want to call them the 1%, or however, the corporations. You can see them where they're trying to control it. And within our legislature, we are getting regulated in a sense that it becomes a monopoly for certain people. As a matter of fact, that just happened in California, or specifically Los Angeles. There's this issue with one of the majors, that Major D that we just passed, that is now the only dispensaries that exist now will be the only ones to continue. And other ones, unless they were to get a certain permit at a certain time, wouldn't be able to open up. So you can see where it's trying to be controlled. But I feel that if we have this dialogue and we talk about it, perhaps people will wake up and see what's going on. It is a way to flourish. It will provide jobs. It will actually change the entire planet. And I think that all of us on this panel actually really know that. So anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Tara.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. So Colin, are you hoping to set a precedent? Are you hoping to empower people to be able to have plants, oil, any kind of medical preparation of cannabis, and stand in their own 2 feet and say, this is right, I'm doing it, I'm getting on with it?
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would be looking to repeal the law on cannabis and hemp, and let's have a free market. I'm in a little small place now, Manchester, because fortunately, for some people say unfortunately, but Manchester has got this devolution package now, and they need to be told what they can do in some occasions. I mean, Tony Lloyd, the police commissioner, he has told me that it's still down to central government to make decisions on these matters. However, I've pointed out that, no, he's got the powers now, so... we're on a bit of a learning curve with the devolution side of things, but I believe that because we have this devolution and we've got his own money for his NHS, which is never going to be enough money, the police numbers being cut and everything, it could be a time to perhaps do what they did in America in the first instance, and perhaps put in for a premises and ask to be licensed. If there is no license to begin with, perhaps get a hemp license to begin with, and obviously there might be a few accidental high-grade plants enter the arena at some point, but I think, you know, we have to keep pushing them, and getting back to the Schedule 1, if for instance, that they can't, they don't want to prosecute because of the Schedule 1. Obviously, I'm going to make that quite well known. It puts the whole situation in an awkward position, because then it sort of has to, it's a point of law then rather than a government decision. And if nobody could be prosecuted because of this Schedule 1 loophole, which it's not really a loophole, it's been there forever. It's when they started to talk about the European human rights and everything, and looked a bit deeper into the American situation, and they've used a lot of these sort of laws to overcome things from the medical standpoint. So, I mean, recreational side is another another journey, of course. The medical, I think, is a lot more simplistic for people to understand. People getting high, people don't really understand that so much. And I also, I believe, like Jack Ehrer did, I believe all use is medicinal anyway, because if it's used recreationally, stroked socially, then it acts as a relaxant, or it can act as to inhibit somebody to be able to speak freely. I don't know what's anybody else's feelings on that.
I love the fact that cannabis helps alleviate inhibitions, and you're right, it's got multiple uses in multiple settings, and it's a great empowering, you know, medicine, really. You know, a lot of things can be medical too. Now, we've got, I think, Bob and Michelle X. Michelle's had some trouble with the law recently. She's an ex-guest on our show. We brought her on because she had some problems with the law. So, Bob, do you want to comment on what Paul said, and then we can bring Michelle in?
What Colleen said, yeah. And yeah, Michelle as well. If you get into the courtroom, we've already lost. You can battle this outside the courtroom and win every single time. Every single time we win outside the courtroom, the Crime Prosecution Service, it costs them more money. It still costs them money, it costs the police money, and they don't make anything. By actually making a simple stance on name, rank, and serial number, don't give them any information, don't contract with them at all. If you are going to court, make it known. The only thing you need to make them know is that you need to face your accuser. Make sure they know this. Make sure they know that you're going to bring the bar into disrepute before you get into court. They can. And if they know you're going to do it, they won't let you. It's that simple. You've already told them, Colin, you're going to try and bring the bar into disrepute. They won't allow you in the building. You're not going to go in. If there are people who have already been attacked under war, remember this is a war on drugs, or aka the poor. And if you have already been attacked, Michelle, welcome again to Dark Tea, then these people should now be rallying round in the thousands. You know, where are the cannabis movement when they're needed? On the knees behind the keyboard, begging the government for help. One of our soldiers has been took forcefully by their home, kidnapped, locked up, charged, abused mentally, to be told, oh, go away. And then they do it again and again and again. Where are they? Where are they? Why are they not all now surrounding that police station? All of them. Take a plant with you, any plant. Tell them that you think it may be cannabis. You don't want to take it, it's all right, leave it there. Plants, hey, they brighten the place up. You've got to have active, direct movements and supportive roles with these soldiers who have been taken in war. Children, women, being brutalised. And people sit behind the keyboards. Colin, you're excused from my comments here, man, completely. You've battled for loads, man, in your own way. I know that, man. Right back in the 80s.
It's true what you say. It's true what you say, Bob. When we had the DE Fenders in Stockport that was behind the coffee shop and they were back the internet.
Right on, man. You know, pull us. Call
that's
us, man.
Power.
Down them streets with pride. Yeah. The joint
that's
in the
what people
way.
Need to
arrest
do.
Me.
Yeah.
Right, man.
Okay. Now, part of this Radio 5 thing, challenging the thing and everything, yeah, let's have a hand yourself in day, because I'm going to be handing myself in, and anybody's welcome to come along. I'll be doing some bit of YouTube nonsense beforehand, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah, but that's right, Bob. We need to
I agree with you, man.
Need to be mobile. We do. And Michelle, I can't wait to hear from you.
Well, next time you're in court, I'm down there. I'll be camping out all night,
I'm telling you.
Michelle's your case. Well, we need, Colin. You need to rally your men together. You know, we'll all go together.
That's true.
We need to rally these little groups together and bring them together. And let's go behind Michelle X. Let's not wait for anybody else. Michelle's there now. Go on, Michelle.
Right. If there's something to do, let's do it. You're right.
Yeah, right, man. Like I say, we've got to get organised.
Michelle, can you jump in for us, please?
Go on, Michelle, get in.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, thanks for having me on the show. You know, I got released from the police station this afternoon. So they've got it on record that even though anybody that's not familiar with the case, it was just a particular raid, 6 plants in flower. I planted again 7 weeks later. I threw it in their face that I wasn't going to be backing down again. So they had to do it again. So they're happy that I'm not going to stop growing and that I don't class it as cannabinoids. And I'm taking it all the way to Crown Court. Well, as far as they'll let me take it to Crown Court. That's about it, really. Yeah. So, yeah, if there was support, it would be good. But I'm going to go ahead with it anyway.
Michelle, can I just ask, you were arrested again?
Did you not realise I was arrested again today?
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't the bail thing.
No, clarification. The bail was actually put down to another date. Yeah, the original arrest was on the 2nd of June of this year, which was organised just before the Channel 5 programme was aired. Which they came round and told me later on that Channel 5 hadn't reported me because I'd said, obviously, well, Channel 5 are going to have to stand up in court against me as the ones that I've offended, the victims.
Brilliant.
So that, they came round to clear that one.
Who is the person who's complained against you? Who is this person that, you know, the warrant's been issued in? Have you found out this individual that's got a claim?
They didn't actually give me the individual's name, but I have clarified with them that they have a name on file of somebody that actually reported it to them, and they have a photograph of me putting it on Facebook, so it was printed out with, and it was an old picture as well. They were quite impressed.
That's amazing, Michelle. So what, I'm just trying to get a few points here from you, Michelle. I'm digging it out, and I know we ain't got a lot of time left, so I'm going to dig at them, if I may. So, this person's name was on the arrest warrant?
No, it wasn't the arrest warrant.
Oh, right. So they've put a different person's name on the complaint. Is this person under fear of you going round and, you know, taking retribution against them or something?
Apparently, yes.
Ah, right. So the name Crown was put on your arrest warrant then?
Yes, it was.
Right. So a picture that's been hung up in a courtroom behind people who are pretending to be an authority is the thing that's offended. An inanimate object has been offended and reported you to the police.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, that's the stance I'd take. I want to face my accuser.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to face my accuser. Come on, let's see the Crown in court.
Absolutely. Well, I want to see ridiculous. It.
The Misuse of Drugs Act is a complete fraudulent piece of paper.
I said that all in my interview as well. I wasn't
aware of the paper. Oh, you didn't talk to him again, did you, girl? You've got to learn to be quiet. You're a soldier. Name, rank, serial number. No contract. Up yours.
Yeah, I didn't refer to it as, I referred them all as my cannabinoid plants, and I said they can't be classed as anything that is in the Schedule 1 because the Schedule 1 doesn't give enough information to classify the plants I grow for medicinal use and the information they could find from other countries, but not this country, unfortunately, so much.
Yeah, the government has actually just said that it's dangerous. Again.
Yeah.
Again. You know, openly, it's dangerous. I mean, the thing is, I know in a sense you've already lost, you see, Michelle. I know that.
Yes.
You've already gone through that emotional... bastards. The bastards. Not emotional bastards, but, you know, that's the only word I've got for it. I mean, everybody, but let me go into it. I think everybody gets what I'm talking about. And if you don't, you should do. You know?
Yeah, I haven't gone through that yet at the moment. Yeah. I'm still... I've actually been told
off. You're behind enemy lines, you see, Michelle. You're behind enemy lines, dug into a trench. There's gas being dropped on you, all right? There's bullets flying over your head. And you're making tea and feeding your neighbour's cat, okay? This is... The people don't get it. You're a soldier in the trenches. This is war.
Yeah. It is war, but I don't believe that using my energies wasted at this point is really going to help my case. So it's kind of, I think I'm saving my anger for a time when I can use it where it is more use.
Oh, no, this, you should be commended, Mandy. You're absolutely wonderful. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. Far from it. You know, okay, you know, you've said a few things, and once you learn about the law a little bit, but you've done brilliant. I'm not knocking you at all. Far from it. And, you know, an anger is with us now, and we're using that creatively. We're not hurting people. Our cannabis culture, the difference between people outside the cannabis culture, people have had a bit of a problem with me because I said these people are dedicated, prepared to give up life, limb and home and family right now to help others. And that's you. That's what you've already been doing. You know, and people are like, well, and there's another analogy, which is not as coarse. Quite simple. People in our community, you won't find us videoing a woman being beaten in the street. You won't. You won't find us walking past. We'll be wading in. That's who we are. We're the people who can't walk past injustice. And we're not apologising for it. We're not. We're making an honourable stand. We don't hurt anyone. In your case, you've not even had any deception, love. I do appreciate the fact that you've managed to say, no, I'm not even going to deceive you. I'm doing this and it's right and just because you are. But, you know, if we need to get behind Michelle. Colin, you were looking for someone with case. You're saying there, I know we're a bit spread apart. We've got the internet. Let's use it. You know, Dark City will give you phone connections. We'll do whatever we can to assist it.
Yeah, I would love to get
everyone behind Michelle's case.
I'd love to get involved. And, yeah, Michelle, I was proud of what you did, and this is what it takes, you know. And I think I commented at the time, you know, it's about time somebody with some balls stood up and did something. People saw it as, whoa, you know, she must be crazy and everything. But no, when you're right about something, sometimes you've got to push it and you've got to show people that you're right. However, what you've got to watch out for, Michelle, is it's this bail situation. Like, I found myself in a funny position, whereas coffee shop, though, it's slightly different. But I managed to get two bails out of it. But then my third offence, that was it. It was don't pass go and straight to jail sort of thing. And remand, that's what, you know, you need to sort of just step down for a little bit. Let's get some people around you. And, you know, we'll do what they was doing in Stockport. If they want to make arrests at your local police station, well, we'll fucking, pardon the fret, we'll queue up on a Saturday morning and do it. I'll put myself forward and gladly be arrested.
I've got one little thing, Colin, here, and then I'll hand it over. One little thing. Remember when you were back then, man, and you'd been done and you were found not guilty by your peers, bro, and turned out of court? Can you imagine me coming to you and saying, stand down a bit now, Colin? No way, bro.
Yeah,
no way Michelle's going to stand down, bro.
No, it's great when you're
there. It is, it really it does need a combined effort all over the place.
I totally agree. Yeah. She needs to have the backup that she deserves. Yeah, as she's being imprisoned. She's a warrior. She's being illegally imprisoned under an illegal war, an illegal piece of paper. That is not lawful in Britain. Ask for Brees. Ask anyone who knows the law. That Misuse of Drugs Act, if you put it before the Hague, would not stand.
Oh, no, I know.
Stand. Now, that's why they won't take it there. Give Michelle the support now. Don't put it off. It's happening to her now, today. Record this. Put it out there. I will call any of you who don't a spineless bastard.
I've got to get back in the loop. I've been off this Facebook and the social media for some month or so with problems with my mother, unfortunately. But I will.
No, don't worry about that, man. I'm saying if you're not already entrenched, if you're not entrenched, if you're not out there growing for somebody medically, you keep your heads down. Look what happened to Michelle. You keep your heads down, right? It's too late. The rest of us, all them people out there who aren't growing, who don't use cannabis. You don't have to use cannabis to learn the wonders that are bestowed within this. You know, it doesn't matter. They've got to get up and they've got to stand up and they've got to back this woman. That's how we'll show them. Well, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? Any courtroom that will take this woman into court should be swamped out. It should cost them hundreds of millions or trillions of their fake money, right? for putting security up. It should be like a bastard G8 summit. Don't let them get away with it. Michelle, fuck your three strikes. Come to Spain, we'll make room for you, kid. Become a refugee. It ain't great not living in your own country, girl. I'll tell you. But don't let the bastards lock you up. Forget it. You know what we want? Live cowards. We don't need dead heroes. No more dead children. No more locking people up for doing the right thing. Make a stand. Make it today. Because, hey, when it's your kids, you can't come round and complain and say, where were you all? It's your chance to make a move. Now, Michelle has already made that chink. She blew an hole in that side of their armour. They took her. They think they're hurting her. She's the bloody bait. Now, we've got to be the trap. Take that beast heads off. The Misuse of Drugs Act and cannabis should be used to make sensible legislation in the UK. That is the basis. If it doesn't hurt anyone, it doesn't harm anyone, the only people who are being deceived are the people by the government. Thank you. Martin?
Wow, I'm right there, man. I mean, yeah. There's no way we can just sit by now. So, let's get active, you know, and back people like Michelle. We're here all week, 365 days a year, 24 hours. We're on the Skype. You know we are the Dark City Compassion Club. We're not stopping. We might be going places. We might take a rest. But, we're there if you need you. Sarah, I think you want to jump in, is that right?
Yeah, I do. Hello, Colin. Hello, Michelle. I just wanted to put a little bit in, just in case the listeners aren't really, haven't really met Michelle before. She's got multiple sclerosis, and she uses cannabis to ease the symptoms of her condition. And without cannabis, she can't really function. You know, so this is it isn't just something that she does as a hobby. This is actually affects the quality of her life to such a degree that it makes her able to go out and be active. You know, without cannabis, Michelle's quality of life is practically zero. And we've got Michelle coming on the show next week. So we're going to be able to hear a lot more from Michelle next week, next Wednesday, and a lot more detail about how cannabis actually does help her particular form of multiple sclerosis. So I just want to say well done, Michelle, for coming on the show, and Colin, but well done, Michelle, because I know you've had a hard day today. So really, yeah, you are a warrior. A lot of people don't quite understand why you're doing what you're doing, but I do. You know, you're a very defiant woman, and you're a very strong woman, and you're standing up for what you believe to be right. And I totally agree.
That can't speak as well because of other circumstances, they can't speak up. So I'm in a position to do that, to speak for everyone as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm all up for 100% getting behind you. I think we all need to stand up and get active and think of different ways. These petitions aren't working. Writing to our MPs doesn't seem to be working either, because that's been going on for a hell of a long time. We need to think about new ways of doing this. And that's by us all getting up and standing together and actually physically doing something and making a difference. I'm there for you, Michelle, and I'm looking forward to next week. Back to you, Martin.
Thank you ever so much, Sarah. And thank you to all the guests tonight. We're closing on maybe 2 minutes left, so yeah, big thanks to all the listeners as well. If you're out there listening live or on the archive, thank you very much. Don't think we've got a guest yet lined up for next week's show, so if anyone does want to come on the Compassion Club,
we have got Michelle next week.
Oh right, sorry, I'm not concentrating. We've got Michelle next week, and I've just made a tit of myself. Good night.
And we've also got the prize draw next week as well. So, and you know, people keep entering the competition, keep sharing it, keep joining the blog, and you'll be in for a chance to win the amazing prize. And it is a really good prize, you know, a T-shirt, a mug, and also Alan Buffery's book, which is a great read. So there's plenty to be tuning in for next week. I'm really looking forward to it.
Just a quick one. Don't become a cannabis refugee. Stand up and fight. The UK needs it. Come on now. Let's get behind Michelle and everyone. Let's change the law here without moving.
Yeah, let me hear you say that when they cut your fingers off, bro. Different situation. I don't want to see anyone else locked up in a cell for the use of cannabis. No one. You know, and if they're going to do that, get your head down, get away. It's the internet. You can do as much clouting from outside without that fear. You know, there are countries there that do recognise medical use, and they're not going to persecute people.
I was talking with Noel about perhaps having a bus going to Madrid and claiming refugee status, you know, medical.
I'm already working on it.
Seeing what they'd say about that.
Yeah, 100%. It's a brilliant idea. We'll talk about it. We'll get back, Colin, and do some more. They've got about 35 seconds. I'm just filling in.
Sorry about that night, lads.
Hey, no, don't be sorry, Mo. Be happy about it. We are.
Michelle. Let's contact each other. I need to come down and see you.
We'll pull another call in, Colin, right after this. Yeah, we'll pull another call in. Michelle, myself, Sarah, and so forth. But Sarah won't be able to come in.
I'm new to all this stuff. You'll have to show me.
Say goodnight, everyone. 10 seconds. Thank you, Martin. Brilliant. Martin's going to be taking a few weeks off. And we'll be back next week with Michelle X and the rest of the crew. And Terry Joyce, our American puncher. Good night, everyone.
An idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.